Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Pickens was really, he was really a problem for us. And it wasn't just when he caught it, it was his after catch stuff that really was impressive, that he was able to run through us like that. I'm just surprised that we weren't able to be, because we knew he was a good player. We went in to defend him. We rolled to him. We covered him. We doubled him a couple times, and he still came through. So he had a heck of a night.
Prescott able to step into it. It's got Pickens. Good move. Nice cutback and a touchdown.
How concerned are you, even if he's healthy, that he might have hit a wall?
I am a little concerned because I watched film yesterday and our wide receivers aren't getting any kind of separation. Like, he has to hold on to the ball for a long time. Now, for whatever reason, things opened up in the second half, and I think that was because Arthur ran a little bit more, some more man-beater type of routes that we didn't run as much in the first half. That throw to DK was a little off in the first half, that deep corner route that he threw. I'm not overly concerned yet, but it does pique my concern just a tad bit, because
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Limits. Neither do you. Neither does anybody else. Just starting to figure this out. Welcome to Pomp and Joe.
What are you saying, Joe?
Pomp doesn't know what he's doing either, as famous as he is.
That's because his cardboard cutout is here and he is at the news conference.
That's right. Nobody does. And I think we all have imposter syndrome. Like, how does anybody just assume a role like leader of a city or country, or, you know, people want to lead the world. People want to be, an NFL coach. People want to be a radio star. People want to be this. People want to be that. Parents. Does any parent know what we're doing? We're just, I'm an imposter there too. I'm pretending I'm a parent. I'm doing what my
parents
did.
You're not pretending. You are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I mean, by fact, I am.
Correct.
But I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just pretending. I become more of my mom and dad every day. Everything I say to my daughter, I'm like, oh my God, my dad used to say that to me and I hated that.
You're like that one insurance commercial.
It.
Don't be like your parents.
Exactly. And you can't help it. My point is, do any of us know what we're doing, Limits? Do any of us feel like we actually know what we're doing? I'm 16 years into this. Am I really a radio host? I don't know. Suppose a lot of people would say no, but I don't think I'm alone in this. I think we all have it. And I've talked to people about this and they all feel it at some level, to some degree, that they're an imposter in whatever they're doing. And I'm feeling that these days. And I wanted to let you know. How are you?
Thank you. Well, I have a little bit more clarity of my life compared to that situation, but maybe not as much as I would like, but I'm doing well.
Nice to see you last night at the big Marconi event. It felt like the Stanley Cup was there.
That was a very fun event, yes. There's a picture of me holding up the Marconi Award like it is the Stanley Cup that you and I were in with the Blizzness of Baseball who was there.
The Blizzness of Baseball. What a nice man he is.
Very nice man, yes. There was a lot of good people that we saw last night.
Food was spectacular.
Yes.
Went all out on the food. It was a fun night.
It was fun. It was a good time. We had
the your bag of chips.
No.
Did you get a bag of chips before the night was over, Limits?
Not,
or no?
No, they were all gone.
No. Yeah, they were pretty popular.
How about the Marconi had shining lights flashing down on it?
Yeah.
And a little spinning, rotating table that it was on.
Oh, man, that part was spectacular. I lifted that thing up like it was the cup. So did Crowley.
It had as many fingerprints on it as the cup.
I handed it to Crowley like Sid did to Trevor Daly that year. You remember that?
How about the back and forth between Malzy and I?
Ooh.
Wasn't that fun?
That was like on the edge right there.
It got dicey.
I thought it might go over. People were taking shots at you left and right, kind of like the YouTube listeners do, right?
But I was delivering them right back.
You were.
And I thought they were pretty solid shots right back.
I thought it was pretty good.
It was a good 9-round fight.
You and Malzy was a great fight.
It was.
Pony took an unbelievable shot at you.
He did, and then I made him open up his shirt to show everybody his nipples that are no longer pierced.
That was a highlight, I thought, for sure. All right, welcome to it. Here we go. We're off. Bob not here. He's over at the Mike Tomlin news conference, and he'll be back tomorrow. And I miss him already. How about when he walked in last night?
The room erupted.
He just did people clap and stuff?
They did, yes.
Was there a rustle?
Yeah, you were there.
No, I wasn't. I was next door eating.
Oh.
I had to go eat dinner next door at a different restaurant with my wife, and then I came back.
It was nice to see your wife.
Yeah, very nice lady. And there was Bob.
I hope so. You're married to her.
And there, I'm an imposter there, too, as a husband.
Can't even think of anything other than, oh, she's a really nice lady.
I mean, how many years of marriage would tell you that, Joe? We're all pretending to be adults. Limits, too. None of us are adults. We're all kids at heart. And we revert back to being kids when we're older. It's not low level. It's just a fact. None of us know what we're doing.
Self-confidence right now.
Nobody handed out. It's not. I'm a very confident man. Nobody handed out a manual on how to be an adult. I used to think about that, like, am I going to know what to do? And the fact of the matter is, hell no, I don't know what to do, but neither does anybody else.
No, that's why we're all in it together.
And it's always the ones who seem like they have everything together who have it the least
together.
Correct,
because when they're in their moments where it's just them sitting there by themselves with their thoughts, it can be a dangerous time.
Yes, it can.
Yeah.
That's when you're in a bad neighborhood, yourself and your thoughts.
Yes.
I forget the point of that. Oh, yeah, Bob walked in, and I knew it would go like this. He walked in, had himself a nice glass of wine.
He immediately had a glass of wine. Like, yeah, where did it come from?
Took the place over. I don't know. I think people just know when he shows up anywhere, he gets a glass of wine immediately. I think that's standard by now. But again, thanks to all the listeners out there, a bunch of people showed up. I'm always, like, astounded. And really, I just think it's really cool. A couple different people said they drive trucks around and listen all the time. It's just really cool to think that we're out there. Blizness of Baseball mentioned that he was going through a tough time. And I've heard this from people also, and it works reciprocally too. When I've gone through tough times, this is like a safe haven that the listeners help to make. And it works the other way around. The Blizness of Baseball said, he was going through a tough personal time, and this helped him get through. And I've gotten a lot of notes like that. Just people who listen and are entertained and distracted for a while. That means a lot. It really does, doesn't it? I mean, you heard him talking last night, and he wasn't the only one.
Right, and I mean, that was a whole part of the event, too, was to thank the listeners for their support. And, you know, what we may mean to them, they mean so much more to us.
Yes.
Because we would not be in the positions where we are now, winning a Marconi, if it wasn't for the overwhelming support that people have given for us. And we hope every day that we can provide that right back.
Indirectly. Do you wish the trophy was bigger limits, or do you like it?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
That'd be nicer if it was bigger. The Baldwin Wiffle Ball trophy is like four times larger than the Marconi.
We should have brought that.
I should have brought it. We paraded that thing around the area for about a week.
Well, all of which brings us to our topic of the day. And speaking of imposters, we have Arthur Smith pretending to be an offensive coordinator, right? Mm. Not just pretending to be an offensive coordinator, but here he is out there and his name's up for every head coaching job out there. And I look at this offense, and I'm not smart enough to go through piece by piece and critique. What's that limit?
That's Callis didn't happening? Turn the ringer off.
Why is he always sabotaging the show?
But that's the second time this week he's done that.
Why does he do that?
I don't know.
Is there a way to turn it off?
There is, yeah.
Could you?
I wonder if I have a theory as to why Callis keeps the ringer on.
Could you please turn that off?
Yeah, I can do that.
What is happening? Thank you.
I have a theory as to why Callis keeps the ringer on.
Yeah.
Maybe it's so that it can just snap his focus back when he hears it go off. And he's like, oh, the phone.
Yeah. I've seen him drift off.
Oh, I have
to
take that call right now.
I've seen him drift off. I'll peer in there. I usually get in sometimes around 9:45 or 50. And I peer in, and Callis is, he's nodding off at times.
Yeah. Not paying any attention to what Crowley has to say.
Yeah. So the Steelers' offense and Arthur Smith, and really the lack, we always talk about this. Is it more a lack of weaponry? Is it the design? Is it the quarterback? Is it the line? Is it the head coach's overall philosophy? What is it that keeps this offense from being the kind of consistently explosive offense that wins in the NFL? Because we're still not there. The defense has come around. That's the crazy part. The defense is now playing well. Joey Porter has turned into Lester Hayes in the last 3 weeks. James Pierre looks great. The safety situation. Jalen Ramsey is Rod Woodson when he moved to safety. It's perfect. Kyle Duggar is suddenly a star. How did that happen? I don't know. I don't know why the Patriots gave him up. But the defense has come around, and the offense is just blah. That's what it is. And we all watched the game last night, and we saw what George Pickens did, and we were sore. I think that's where I was going with that. We saw what Pickens did. He was electric. You heard Pete Carroll. You know, he was catching the ball and making yards after catch. He had 9 catches for 144 yards and a touchdown, even with C.D. Lamb in the game. And it seems like those two get along great, to the point where they were both suspended for the beginning of the game. They're just a dynamic duo here. Now, the Cowboys are only 4-5-1. I get it. But things look great for George right now. And by the way, I did take note that the coach in Dallas disciplined him at the beginning of a game. Did the coach here do that? He couldn't even admit when he did. There was a game last year where it looked like Pickens got benched. Was that the Dallas night game? Where Tomlin later simply couldn't admit that he got benched. Well, maybe he didn't in the end. I don't know. It gets very confusing around here, but it was clear last night that Pickens and Lamb were both suspended for the beginning of the game. And now you look at the stats and you see Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's just an unbelievable stud, leads the NFL in receiving yards. And guess who's second, Limits? Guess who's second? Wrong. George Pickens. Right ahead of the spitter, the llama, Jamar Chase. Right ahead of him. 908 yards in 10 games. Guess who leads the NFL in receiving touchdowns, Limits?
George Pickens.
Wrong. Devontae Adams, followed by Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then among wide receivers, at least, T. Higgins and George Pickens are tied. How about that? Second in receiving yards, tied for third. Tied for third, I say, in touchdowns. What am I missing? How about targets on the year, oh limitless wonder?
Devontae Adams.
He's in the top 15 there. It's Jamar Chase. When he's not spitting, he's catching.
All 21 targets that he received against the Steelers, I'm sure, helped.
Yeah, I think they did. In other words, George Pickens right now, and this is a fact, George Pickens has a case to be first team all pro. What do we make of this at 412-928-9370? It's an old-fashioned sports talk radio topic. I'm going to throw out the topic. You call, we talk, all knowing that we're all imposters. Right, Limits? Can that be the theme of the day?
Imposter syndrome?
Yeah, imposter syndrome. We'll just pretend we're having a radio show. You pretend to call. You pretend to have an opinion, like you know what you're talking about. Then I'll have an opinion and pretend that I know what I'm talking about.
Can I pretend like I'm a 65-year-old man and I've been around for 45 years, almost as long as Ron?
We'll have a pretend radio show. Can we hear Ron's voice before we continue this? Just there we go. And I do miss him. I really do miss him. I was thinking about that last night. A lot of people asked about Ron last night at our little party. George Pickens has a case for first-team All-Pro. How do we interpret that in relation to a Steeler offense that is just okay? it's just okay and sometimes bad and not very explosive at all. I heard Trey Essex on the morning show talking about, you know, there's just no explosion to this team. The secondary receivers aren't open. It's just, it's not a very good offense. And how he was talking about how defenses have become hip to this multiple tight end thing. But is that even a thing? Pat Freiermuth didn't even play half the snaps and was targeted one time. I was just looking at a number before the show, was curious about it. 20 plays of 20 plus pass yards. That's an explosive play, right? 20 plus pass yards. The only teams with fewer than the Steelers 24 are named the Jets, Browns, and Saints. It's pathetic in a way. They're 28th in yards. They're 12th in scoring, but they've gotten a lot of help, notably this last game, by unbelievable rashes of turnovers in games, including these two touchdowns. You simply take away those two defensive touchdowns, and I realize other teams get those too, and they would sink to where they belong, which is right in the middle of the league, probably offensively in scoring. You know, they're in the middle third. They're in the bottom third in total yards, and they're definitely in the bottom third in explosion. It's not an offense that you can picture going anywhere. And what would it look like? This is the question of the day. What would it look like with George Pickens? I mean, did you see the touchdown he had last night, Limits? He's preoccupied, which is understandable because I solicited calls.
The phone lines are lighting up like Malzy last night at the event.
Go ahead and answer those. They're lighting up like Crowley raising the Marconi over his head. They're lighting up like Pony showing his nipples again. So, the offense stinks in a lot of ways. Where would it be with George Pickens? Where would it be? Would he be doing this here? And I have to say, my opinion has softened on the matter, although it hasn't fully changed. Let me explain. Our friend Bob Pompiani, whose cardboard cutout is sitting in a chair across from me, an armless cardboard cutout, I might add, is right across from me. He's at the Tomlin News Conference helping to get things set up. He does the Tomlin Weekly Show today. Maybe you can ask him about his crap offense right now. He's been on the Pickens train from the beginning. They should have kept him. And his point was always, in a contract year, Pickens would have behaved here. I still find that very hard to believe. I really do. However, given the ineptitude in trying to replace whatever his production might have been, they might as well have just stuck with him and taken the chance that he would have blown up, you know, like Mount St. Helens here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Teammates were done with him. I don't care about that. No, nobody in that locker room has won anything here, ever. I don't give a crap what those guys want. Plus, the leadership here is unable to keep guys under control anyway. We've seen that multiple times. I don't give a crap what guys in the locker room, who they like, who they don't like, what they want, what they don't want. That nobody's ever won anything here who's in that locker room. Who cares? But the bigger point to me was that Pickens was on the verge, I think, of just erupting here. They gave his money to another man the money that he thought was going to be ticketed for him to another man named DK Metcalf, and they made that man their number one receiver. And by the way, George Pickens is better than DK Metcalf. I think I've said the opposite here because Pickens was just such not a technician at the position, and the effort was lacking enough here to make you wonder what was going to happen this season. I mean, the guy quit on plays. He quit on routes. He didn't want to be here. And I think that would have manifested itself in a pretty explosive way. Might have been the only explosion on the Steelers offense this year was George Pickens exploding in wherever, mini camp, training camp, early in the season. And can you imagine him? Here's the other thing. I don't know that it translates as easily to, if Pickens were here, the Steelers would be way more explosive and he would be really good. What if it translated to Pickens would be unbelievably underutilized and frustrated in this pop gun offense because the design is faulty? What if it were that? Having said all of that, given the evidence now at hand, they might as well have kept Pickens and taken their chances. The dude is a first team all pro right now. At very worst, second team. You have Smith and Jigba and you have Ja'Marr Chase right now. I think those are probably your two guys, but Pickens and Puka Nacua, but he's missed a game or two, I think, and his numbers aren't quite on par. In pure talent, that guy's unbelievable, but he's only got four touchdowns. Pickens has more yards and more touchdowns than him. So he has a case for first-team All-Pro. He does. What would that look like on the Steelers? Should they have kept him? I'm leaning more toward Bob than I ever have. I saw that last night. Even though I don't think it would have worked. Either by design of the offense, completely, you know, stifling him, or by him completely stifling himself. Maybe it had just run its course. But look at what they've done since. I mean, my God, the receiver with the second most targets was Roman Wilson. Calvin Austin II is sinking on the depth chart. And even Metcalf's a good receiver. I think George Pickens is showing that he's better than Metcalf. Honestly. Anyway, when you were on the line last night, Limits, the touchdown he had last night was unreal. They were going over it and over it on NFL Network this morning. It looked like he was going out of bounds. He just put a foot in the ground and made an unbelievable cut.
You're talking about a touchdown. And how about the one-handed catch that he was out of bounds for? But still, just we know how much of a freak athlete that Pickens is.
Do you wish they'd kept him?
Well, I mean, obviously the production shows that, yeah, but I truly do wonder, Joe, because, I mean, it's not like a bunch of robots are going out there and playing. What would have been like with Pickens' attitude in the locker room?
I don't give a crap about that anymore. I don't.
I don't either. I don't like as much.
I mean, you know what they need? You know what every team around here needs? Is more jerks. The Pirates need more of those, too.
Well, jerks that can play.
Yeah. Yeah, jerks that can play. I'm not looking for nice guys anymore. And I do think, and I was first in line ripping Pickens. I was, because he deserved it here. Because he committed the cardinal sin too often, which is quitting. But looking at how they've mangled the receiver position, I guess my position now is I wish they just would have kept him and taken a shot at it. Taken a chance that he would have behaved and tried and performed. And yet, as I say this, I don't know that there was opportunity for him in this offense because of its design, maybe because of its quarterback. I mean, what would the Pickens-Rodgers marriage have been like?
Well, and think about it from this perspective. I do wonder, now Metcalf is being targeted, you know, 6-7 times a game, 4-5 catches a game, but his numbers aren't all that significant for what you're expecting of a number one wide receiver. Maybe he's being paid $30 million.
Yeah, maybe that's the design of the offense.
But if you had Metcalf producing that way with no number one wide receiver two doing anything, no tight end other than Darnell Washington here or there and Freiermuth in one game producing. Jonnu Smith has disappeared.
Yeah.
Where would Pickens factor in?
Well, that's the question.
He'd be having 3-4 catches a game. They wouldn't be using him right.
That's another question. But again, when I throw all of that into the pile of evidence here and I watch what I watched last night, they should have kept Pickens and taken their chances. They just should have kept him. Even though I don't think it would have worked, they should have kept him. The guy's incredible when he's motivated, when he's on point. He's an unbelievable talent. 412-928-9370. And when you look at the extreme, you know, positive side, the best case, what would it have been? Wow. What would he add to this offense that they simply do not have? They simply don't have it. He's made, you know, I mentioned that the Steelers have as a team, have only 24 catches of 20 yards or more. Only teams worse, I think I said, are the Jets, Browns, and Saints. Think about that. Pickens has 14 of those on his own. 412-928-9370 off the top. Presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line on which you can communicate with our dear friend City Limits brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You said the phone lines are lighting up like Crowley at Mountaineer Field. Let's go.
Yes, let's go to Steven. He is in Ford City.
What's up, Steven?
Hey, what's up, boys? Congratulations on your night last night with the award.
Thank you.
George Pickens is doing phenomenal right now because of the lack of Cowboys defense out there on the field. Do we agree with that or not?
Wait, because you're saying they're always behind and he's rolling up numbers, stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott is just having to launch the ball.
That might be that's a fair point to consider.
Yeah, plus CeeDee Lamb was out for a few games, so George Pickens got to be the center of attention, and that's what he wants to be.
But you can't deny the talent. You know what I mean? I'm kind of arguing against myself here every time I make an argument for Pickens, but when you watch what you watched last night, I think all Steeler fans had to say to themselves, what might have been. And here's the other point, and I appreciate the call. Mike Tomlin, for the reputation that he has, like, oh, he keeps these guys under control. No, the opposite is true. He enables these guys and helps to create his own problems. And the Steelers, by trading Pickens, were admitting to the world, we have an unbelievably talented player that we drafted that we can't control. Our coach was unable to control him. Maybe that had something to do with Tomlin blowing it off every time there was a Pickens eruption or a Pickens problem, a Pickens issue. He ignored the warning signs on Pickens. Doesn't sound like Schottenheimer's doing the same. Pickens didn't even start the game last night. Benched for a series. Tomlin couldn't admit it when he did bench Pickens last year. I don't even know if he still did. And it wasn't just me, by the way. It was a lot of you saying that this was the end for George Pickens. It was Max Starks on the team's flagship radio station ripping the guy. I need wide receivers to stop thinking they're bigger than the game itself, and we all know who that wide receiver is. He needs to grow up. That's on the flagship radio station with a former Steeler. Imagine what's being said elsewhere. Like here. Remember Pat Freiermuth last year talking about him. You can't bitch and moan, complain about a lack of targets. You remember him quitting in games. You remember Chris Hoke saying he can't win with a guy like that. Steelers took a chance on him. They ignored all the warning signs, and then they couldn't control him. The head coach couldn't control him. And like so many other star receivers around here, Pickens got his coach's faith and trust and protection and everything else and peed all over it. Just like Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant and Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson. Oh, Tomlin does a great job there in Pittsburgh controlling these you know, egomaniacal, problematic wide receivers. No, he doesn't. He creates them. He helps to create them. He did bench Pickens in that Cowboys game, I think, last year. And then when he was asked about it, he said it was snap management. Couldn't even admit he benched him. showing up late to a big game against the Chiefs. We remember that one. Tomlin never addressed that publicly. Acted like he forgot. Or maybe didn't know in the first place. I don't know. Remember Pickens quitting on a route against Kansas City. Tomlin saying, no, that's not what happened. And then Arthur Smith admitting it was. Somebody said, what was Pickens doing on that play? What was he supposed to do? And Smitty said, quote, not that. So make no mistake, and let's not do a revisionist history here. He was a problem. And it was an environment here in which his worst traits came out. And man, that seems to happen a lot at that position in Pittsburgh. And they admitted, we don't know what to do with him. Wildly talented player, can't control him. Let's deal him for, I think it was a third round pick. And I didn't blame them at the time. I didn't. But let's not mistake what it really was, them admitting that they couldn't control a guy after they arrogantly drafted him thinking they could do what other teams couldn't because of the environment and the culture here, which is the crazy part, because the environment and culture here enables guys like him to be the worst version of themselves. Go all the way back to the draft when a scout told Bruce Feldman of The Athletic, there's a lot of upside with Pickens, but he can't get out of his own way. He's been enabled his whole life. One coach, you love his game, but there's some issues. Do what you want. Do you want to work with him? I wouldn't touch him. Steelers took him. We can handle him with this coach. We'll handle him. This environment, this culture here, he'll be fine. That's the Steeler way. Can handle guys like this because of our history, our stability, our culture. Well, actually, guys like that, problematic guys at that position come here, and you might get some production out of them, and that's great, but then they inevitably always explode, and inevitably, you always trade them. And I've heard people say, well, a lot of them haven't been productive when they left here. Look at Deontay. Look at Chase. Get Antonio for the most part. Okay. Now look at George. We were all looking at him last night. 412-928-9370. One more call, Limits.
Here is Randy in Dubois.
What's up, Randy?
Hey, I only have two words. Ownership and coaching.
Tell me more.
That's everything you're talking about here has been going on for years now. With, like you said, every wide receiver, we don't have coaches they respect. The ownership, there is no respect of the ownership no more. The whole philosophy of Steeler football washed away 10 years ago.
Well,
the attitudes on the fields, the one game they play great, next game they don't because one game they care, one game they don't. They downplay to bad teams, play up for good teams. It's all coaching. Offensive linemen, they've been given how many first-round pick offensive linemen now, and they can't coach them up. They knew Broderick Jones needed coached up. Don't coach him up. They knew George Pickens was going to be great, but they couldn't coach him.
Well, that one, that's the one we're sticking to right now, and I appreciate the call, is Pickens. And believe me, I'm sort of two minds here. I do not think he would have flourished like this if he stayed here this year. I don't think that. However, given the ways in which they've tried to shore up the receiver position beyond Metcalf, they're actually worse off than they were last year. So you might as well have just taken the chance that Pickens would shine this year for 1 year in a contract year, as my friend Bob Pompiani has been arguing all along. I mean, you couldn't watch that game last night and not think to yourself, oh my God, what am I watching here? And then I watched the Steelers offense? Smitty's little pop gun offense? The Randy Fichtner throw short, hope you run long offense? Can't help but think about it. 412, think about it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Limits just informed me of a story I was not aware of. So at some point here, we're going to take a sharp detour. Jeff Passan, who I think is the best baseball writer, baseball analyst, reporter, I think in the country. Would you agree with that, Limits?
Yeah, I would. He is definitely the premier insider in baseball now.
Insider is the word I was looking for, and I appreciate you doing that. I really was looking for that word. I think he's best.
He is.
This is unbelievable.
He brought the hammer down in the story today. Oh,
what do you mean
word.
The hammer down? He brought the hammer up off the Pirates.
What I meant by the hammer down was the hammer of my jaw dropping to the ground, saying this is actually something that could happen.
Well, I'll tell you what he's talking about. Let's say after the top of the hour, after we get to Nick Faribault talking Steelers about who the Pirates might be in on in free agency. Listen. Passan's been the first guy to rip ownership and rip the Pirates here. So he doesn't write this if he doesn't believe it to be true. And you're not going to believe it to be true. But I'm going to tell you about that in the 11 o'clock hour. I mean, that is... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're even in on the two Japanese guys coming in?
Supposedly. Don't give it away, Joe. That's the radio tease.
I know. All right, we're going to get to that. In the meantime, George Pickens, man, was that a punch in the gut. Really? I mean, it really has to be a punch in the gut, or it's like that meme or GIF. I don't know the difference between the two all these years later, of the karate guy taking repeated kicks to the groin. Have you seen that one, Limits?
Ah!
Yeah, that. Just keep doing that over and over.
That's actually the sound of what the mummy was supposed to sound like if he was brought back to life.
Give me that one for each of George's 9 catches last night with the Cowboys. Go ahead.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
A little delay.
Oh! Oh!
Right.
Oh!
And then we have to watch this offense. This offense, and in terms of explosive plays, I already mentioned it, they only have 24 pass plays of 20 or more yards. And I'm going to say that 20 of them, at least, were catching runs, right?
Oh, easily.
I mean, the Metcalf touchdown in Dublin, the Jaylen Warren 65-yarder. Was that even a touchdown? I don't remember.
No. Kenny G,
earlier
a couple
in the season.
Of runs he's had.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like there's nothing happening in terms of explosive plays through the air. And the wide receiver situation is unchanged. They don't threaten anybody. They don't threaten anybody, and they don't have Josh Allen running around back there. Like, their receivers are actually probably better than the Bills because DK Metcalf is better than anybody on the Bills. But they don't have a quarterback like that who just makes stuff up and makes magic happen, and even the Bills have struggled at times offensively this season because of their lack of big play receivers or even small play receivers. Well, the Steelers have a pretty good one in Metcalf, and they could have paired him with a guy who right now has a solid case for first team All-Pro, and that's George Pickens. The long and short of it is I don't think it would have worked here, but given what has transpired since, both with Pickens and the receiving situation here, Bob Pompiani was right. They should have just tried it. Might as well, right? You'd still have Roman Wilson here. He's now out-snapping Calvin Austin. So if Pickens totally imploded, you could have just dealt him at the trade deadline. You might as well have tried it because that dude has taken off. And the Steelers decidedly have not offensively. Let's hit the phone lines limits, shall we?
Yeah, let's go to our guy Paul in Washington. Paul didn't make it to our event last night, Joe. I was surprised
by
that.
Where were you, Paul?
I'm sorry, Joe, but you'll see me in person, up close and in person, in the very near future.
Is that a threat or a promise? And I can't hear you. I can't hear you. What's wrong with your phone?
Can you hear me now, Joe?
A little bit better. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, City Limits, I'll be there to advertise in an upcoming event.
Limits, you're going to have to fix Paul Washington's phone. I'm sorry. We have to go, Paul. We're going to call you right back, or you call us back. Limits, is that his problem or ours?
That's his problem. It's not ours.
He's always a good one, too.
He is.
Next.
All right, here is Monty. He is in Monroeville.
Monty. I love that name. I think of Monty Hall. I think of Monty Tau, a little 5'5" guard on the David Thompson, Tom Burleson, NC State teams from many decades ago.
I wasn't alive.
Who's the most famous Monty in sports history, Limits? Wrong.
The Monty Python?
Monty Irvin, I think. Was he the guy? Didn't Monty Irvin allow one of the most famous home runs in history? Is there another Monty?
Does Monte Ball count? Spelled the same.
Maybe. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Joe. How you guys doing today?
Doing well. What's up?
I've been waiting to call back. I called you guys last year about
You were right.
Chicken.
You were right. I already know what you're going to say.
Last year.
You were right.
Okay, but I want to rub it in. But what I do want to... But I will. First team, this guy is one of the greatest talents I've seen at receiver. I've been telling you guys, do not worry about off-field problems. Worry about the talent. He's not getting in trouble off the field, drinking and driving, beating women up. He's a dog on the field. He wants to win. He wants to win. He's better than DK. He's been doing it with no quarterback.
Well, hold on 1 second. He wasn't a dog on the field here. In fact, he quit. He quit at times. He committed the cardinal sin and didn't show effort at key times in games. So I understand he could be at times here, and he's looking like that all the time in Dallas, although he did just get benched for the beginning of a game. But that part I disagree with, but go ahead.
Okay, well, if he wasn't a dog here, how did he average almost 1,000 yards each season with Matt Canada, Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, no number two? You see, with DK's not even going to have 1,000 yards this season. He's not even going to get close to it. You're paying DK all that money. You had one of the best receivers in the game on his rookie deal. You're not paying Aaron Rodgers any money. You could have saved some of that money, got a solid number two, and that would have helped us out big time.
For sure.
Big time. Even the rush game would have benefited from that move.
Well, you bring up an important point. How much of George Pickens' problems here were George Pickens, and how much was the Steelers' environment? And how much was the Steelers, you mentioned, personnel and design on offense? You know what I mean?
I think it was the majority of the problem, because you have a young kid that wants to win so bad and wants to contribute so bad, and he's seeing that talent-wise, we're just not there. And, I mean, I can't blame him. I look at him like it's one of my kids playing. I would have tried to talk to him as much as possible, but when you got that much passion, I mean...
Well, you can certainly blame him for quitting on routes and not blocking for people, right? We agree on that.
You know what? I was going to bring that up. You made such a big deal about that.
Yeah.
And I told you, just like I told my brother, George Pickens has highlight reels of blocking cornerbacks.
When he felt like it here, for sure. Yeah. And don't take my word on that, looking back. Don't take my word on that. You can go with the Max Starks comments on Pickens about how we have one guy around here who really he's not going to block on certain plays. That's exactly what he said.
I mean, we weren't really banning the block. We got blocking receivers now, and how is that helping us right now?
Well, he also quit on routes. You're not going to sway me on the Pickens was a dog on the field here in terms of the good kind of you know, where it's a compliment to say that that dude was going all out all the time. He wasn't.
What? He has some of the most amazing catches we've ever seen.
That's
Lays
true.
Lays his body on the line. Do you know when you lay your body out like that, concussions happen most of the time when you hit your head off the field like that.
Yeah.
We had a guy named Deontay Johnson that had alligator arms, run backwards, and you guys are comparing him character-wise to him. But talent-wise, it's not even in the same ball.
Nobody would argue with you there. Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to give and take. You can't have it all. And I think if we just – then you figure, before we got Metcalf, once we got Metcalf, even I said, you know what, you got to let him go. You can't give that guy his money and then expect him to be okay with that. I mean, I agree, it wouldn't have worked that way. But if you would have kept him, don't worry about picking up Metcalf, spend some money on a solid number two, and now we got – Aaron Rodgers back there. Now, he's not doing the greatest, but he's a hell of a lot better than Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett.
Yes. All good points and a good call. Very solid call and a very astute observer. I don't know how it would have worked with if that scenario had played out where you never get Metcalf, you keep Pickens and get a number two behind him. Aaron Rodgers is a guy who needs precision from his receivers. Would that have worked? I don't know. It's a great question, and we'll never know the answer, just like we'll never know the answer of would it have worked with Metcalf and Pickens together. All I know is they're deficient at that position. All I know is that this offense has no explosion, and therefore, really, in the end, no hope to get where they want to go, unless something changes dramatically. Some people will tell you, I have a feeling Hokie's going to come in Thursday and tell us that Mason Rudolph might be able to bring out more explosion in this offense.
You know, it was Hokie, but also Steelers apologist Mark Cabali that was number one on the Mason Rudolph hype train. He reminded me of that last night.
How about Cabali last night? He was an absolute star at the Marconi celebration.
I was walking to the elevator, and there comes Cabali peering around the corner as I'm on the phone with my aunt, and Cabali's like, say hello. And I'm like, I don't think that she knows who you are, Mark. And I said, do you know who Mark Cabali is? And she said, no.
Well, she does now. I can tell you that. He was in rare form last night.
Yes.
I think he won us the Marconi in the end. Limits, do you?
No, I don't. I think it was Pat Bostic.
Maybe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.